The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 892, I think. Maybe 93, somewhere on there. We've done a lot anyway. And this is the Weekend Podcast. I'm joined by Pete and Steve. You're right, lads.
Oh, yes. Hello, Justin.
Hello.
I got a funny sound in my head. I don't know why that is.
That's you.
I know that is me. That's my thoughts. But, I mean, I don't know. It's coming from one of you two, I think. Anyway, guys, so how's your week been? And, Steve, you must be quite excited because finally one of your stocks is getting towards break-even.
Yeah. Well, minus 1% to break even, and it went back down again. But I've just looked at it now again Friday afternoon. It's gone up a little bit, but yeah. Motive Bio.
We're not talking about bagging or 10 bagging like you see people on Twitter. Yeah, bagged already. Bag. Steve is like, yeah, I'm near break even. All right. that was, of course, Motive Bio. But the thing is, I don't know why I got out of this. I got back in, did a little trade on it, earned, you know, about 10% or 20% of that. I don't know why, I just had too many stocks at the time, I was trimming down. And if people don't know the story behind Motive Bio, they came up with this drug called Iclaprim, and it's to combat, you know, these superbugs, you know, like MRSA, all that stuff, you know, that's, and apparently in about 5 years' time, you know, we'll have no antibiotics that can combat, even if you have a cut in your finger and you go into hospital, there'll be no antibiotics around, unless they're developing them more now, that can, you know, kill these bugs. So Iclaprim is looking to do this, but they had two phase three trials, and the phase three is the last trial you have to do and complete before you can go on to commerciality. Now, normally it's only one trial they do in phase three, but the FDA wanted two. So the first one was called Revive 1, the second one Revive 2, exactly the same apart from the testing on different people. So the results came out from Revive 1, excellent results, and they said obviously the second test should be exactly the same. You know, it'd be a small, tiny bits of change, but be pretty much the same. So we knew that was a good deal there. You know, we knew it was going to happen. And so anyone could have taken this trade, and this share price in Motive Bio went down to 27 pence, you know, some of this. And so that was a good trade there. And on the day they announced these second top-line results, Revive 2, it's up by 25%. I mean, to me, there's no more obvious trade to make your money in than that. And I didn't go for it. I don't know why I didn't. It's almost like retrospect. It's always a good thing, isn't it? But there was nothing pointed, you know, there was no safer bet.
There was. I'm invested in it. That's probably the thing that would put you off a little bit.
Yeah. But there was.
And then lots of the private investors listening to this were probably put off by that as well. Yeah.
There was no, but the thing is, there was just no more safer bet than that. It was there, really. You know.
But Steve, how close to break even are you?
Minus 8.95%.
Close.
Oh, that's cool. All right.
That's
well, I mean, if you look at this now, the potential of this is it's a blockbuster drug, which is a technical term, blockbuster drug. It means you can achieve $1 billion of revenue a year. It can achieve that. And so if you look at, again, its peers, on NASDAQ and all that, they are valued, I mean, you know, a couple of times more than Motive Bio. So I think now, Steve, hang on. This is a gradual rise towards, and there'll be more news out. And I had Graham Lundson, the CEO, on the podcast this week, and I think we've seen a gradual rise now to the place where it'll be, you know, in line with its peers' valuation, I think. So I think you're okay holding on to that, because they've gone past, they've de-risked this a lot of the times. So it's now just finding, you know, partners in the commercial space to take it up, pretty much. So I think this is going to be a goodie for you, Steve.
Yeah.
And do you know what? It's almost like, look, that's very much a macro theme, isn't it? That kind of antibiotics not being able to kill superbugs. And that's quite a macro theme, isn't it? You know? Do you know what I mean by that? I mean, it's a trend that's heading one way. And so if you play into that space, it's quite good. And the reason, what is that? What is that noise? Who did that then? Is that someone's stubble who hasn't shaved? That's their iPhone. Is it? Steve, have you shaved?
Oh, no, I shaved yesterday, actually.
Are you clean shaven?
Not the face.
Are you clean shaven? Yeah, exactly. just from the neck down.
Yep.
All the way, bald from the neck down now, me. Lovely, lovely.
Yeah, oh, so no, I left the...
Steve, you can't say that on a family-oriented podcast. I'll have to cut that.
You know
I hate editing things out. I have to go back now and edit that out. I'll just remind me, I have to put a silly sound effect in there, okay?
Edit what out?
Exactly, that sound effect. So, Peter, don't do that, please.
It's a nightmare if you keep saying.
Go, listen, boys, can you stop saying it? It makes it a nightmare. It'll get to the stage where I won't be bothered to edit this out, and any of our valuable chat so far will be wasted. All this valuable research.
Are we allowed to say.
Right, okay, listen, keep it above the belt, yeah?
What, you all. Okay.
No, but what I'm saying is...
you might have to edit this whole section.
Yeah, yeah. No, what I'm saying is...
What are you saying?
Looking at macro themes is a good way of investing. So you start knowing, looking about what's happening and then working your way backwards. You know, and I give an example of this, and you'd be happy with this, guys. Because I just think right now, if you look at the way things are going with the electric vehicle market, you know, I mean, what's your thoughts? Let's just get your thoughts on this. You know, let's put you all together. Steve, what's your thoughts on the way we're going in terms of electric vehicles? Who's doing that? Who's logging? Is that your thoughts, Steve? Stop that! God, I have to write notes on this. Some edit points. But Steve, why are you now logging into Skype when it's essentially on Skype?
Midway through the podcast.
No reason. What was the question? I think it's going to be a slow process. Obviously, the hybrid's going to be the big one first, isn't it? What is that the government have put in place? Is it the fact that all cars have to be electric or hybrid?
Electric.
Fully electric.
By when? By like 2040 or
yes, something. Yes, 2040, yeah. Yeah, so okay, plenty, plenty of time, you know, but a lot of companies
think... dead by then.
No, but that's the kind of thing... 2040, what is it, 2020? It's in 20 years' time, isn't it? That'd be fine, I'm retired.
Kim Jong-un, all that.
By that time, in 20 years' time, Steve will be break-even for his entire portfolio.
Yes!
Brilliant, he'll claw back all the money he's lost.
Yeah, yeah. And he realised how much he put into it. I'm quite well off. I don't know why he started doing it in the first place. He's got a talent.
Everyone will have like T-Bot mobile network. Everyone will be using that network. And everyone will be using Strat Aero.
Strat Aero is tanked, isn't it? Do you know what? On Friday, we're recording this Friday afternoon. Strat Aero is a bit of a punt for me because I just thought they recently raised cash. And you know the share price of 1.6 million market cap it was anyway, but but I saw it was it on Thursday it was down like and this is tanking throughout the week, and I thought that's got to bounce violently sooner or later, and I thought should I jump in for a punt? I didn't though, because I saw someone else a tweet this week that basically said what I said several weeks back, is that punts generally don't turn out well, you know, unless you have several things stacked in your favour. But it bounced strongly on Friday, didn't it? But anyway, listen, going back to electric vehicles, yeah. But the thing is, we know it's happening. 2040 is very much a hard stop, isn't it? That's when they know everyone, all manufacturers will pretty much be on side for this, and they've done it anyway. So it's a very safe area. But it's almost like the government's signalling their ambition or their thoughts by saying this is the way we should be by then. But like I said, car manufacturers are going there. So we know that's happening, don't we? We know that's happening straight away. So you've got to look at, okay, so what's going to happen as a result of this? Which areas of industry, manufacture, commodities, anything? What's going to strengthen? You know, what's going to what demand? How it's going to go up in which areas? Steve, where do you think the demand will come from? Increased demand from electric vehicles compared to now petrol diesel vehicles.
So power in general. So
power. Oh, buy some power. Buy some power. Buy some power.
Yeah, some power. So nuclear batteries. I'm not sure what's used to make batteries with. They'll become quite popular.
Lithium.
They'll take off.
Copper, nickel.
Yeah, okay, all that stuff. So, yeah, so ingredients to make batteries.
Exactly. But do you know what, though? So we know this. We know this is a fact, right? That vehicles, EVs, electric vehicles, right? Now, they contain three times as much copper, and not as many copper mines are coming online, big ones, as there was like 4 or 5 years ago, because the copper price has tanked. So you know it's full well, right? Not only, and copper is also, you know, the backbone of traditional sort of tech and new tech as well, right? So you've got all these phones coming on, all these little bits in the components that needs copper. You've got these cars that need three times as much copper as traditional cars, pretty much. Yeah. There's about 50 kilograms, so you know copper. So straight away, you know there's going to be more demand for copper, and yet the quality of copper, the grades of copper is going down. So it's going to be more expensive. For anyone with a good, decent copper play right now, it's going to be laughing, like Asia Met, for example. That's one, you know, I know. Yeah, and there's many others, but I mean...
They've gone up this week, actually, as well, haven't they?
Well, it's reflecting the copper price. Copper price is at a 3 months high, and I think the copper price will go through the ceiling. Looking at other things as well, and another company we own, nickel, right? Now, if you're worth checking out Horizonte's new presentation. Mm. Now, this is Elon Musk. You know who Elon Musk is, Steve, yeah?
No.
Come on, Steve.
Have a guess who he is. Elon Musk. Come on, Steve.
The CEO of... Horizonte Mineral.
Come on, Steve.
Steve, you must know it's Elon Musk. Surely, it's not an aftershave.
No.
It's not an aftershave.
Why would I must know this?
All right, Elon Musk, he's quite famous in investor circles. He's quite famous anyway. Elon Musk, right. Steve, is the CEO of Tesla.
Right, okay.
He does Rocket X as well. He's setting off, is it Rocket X? Pete, he does. Is that what he does? But he's got a rocket company as well. He's like, let me put it into context for you, Steve. You know, Iron Man?
Yeah.
It's based on him.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, that's it. Well, Tony Stark is based on Elon Musk, apparently.
Okay.
So he's a very famous billionaire. He's built
PayPal.
Yeah.
He invented that.
Well, yeah, he's one of the co-founders of that, yeah. And so
his name doesn't pop up whenever I pay for PayPal, though, I must admit.
No, all so right. Elon Musk is, Steve, put it this way, look him up. I'm surprised, Steve, he's tech. He's very techy. He's the guy. He's the guy who's got opening a gigafactory in Las Vegas and a gigafactory in Australia. He's the man, you know, he's the cutting edge. Tesla has gone from being, now we talked about Tesla before, electric cars, but it being a bit of a rumour. Now it's worth more than Ford or General Motors, ridiculous amount. It's like, you know, it's gone from, I don't know how many they sell it, you know, it's getting traction, obviously. But anyway, he said this, look, our cells should be called nickel graphite. I know everyone calls them lithium batteries, but it's not. Look, our cells should be called nickel graphite because primarily the cathode is nickel and the anode side is graphite with silicon oxide. There's a bit of lithium in there, but it's like salt on a salad. So everyone's going on about lithium and, you know, get exposed to lithium. No, get exposed to nickel. And one of the biggest projects at the moment, resource space, Horizonte Minerals. Again, nickel is going to be huge. The demand is unbelievable on nickel. So there's another little thing here. What was it by? It's something like eight times. They're going to be someone adding batteries, and basically they're upping the amount of nickel in batteries. So again, so you've got copper, you know, the wiring of a car, the batteries is nickel, pretty much. So these two companies right now, you're thinking, yes, this is perfect, isn't it? So those two areas now, the play in this greater trend that you know is going to carry on for years. It's not going to be a flash in the pan, is it? You know, this demand for nickel and copper, it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be happening for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So right now, get into some decent companies that are exposed to the copper, to the nickel, and you'll be laughing. These are buy and hold companies. Buy and hold for as long as you can. It's good.
Not into teapot then.
No, these are good quality, small companies with decent share registers, good management, you know, with big assets, good assets, you know.
Like Snoozebox.
Exactly, yeah. Snoozebox and...
Worth a nickel and a dime.
I think I may actually edit that bit out as well.
I think this is one of our best podcasts to date, personally.
If I'm starting to edit stuff out, I mean, I may as well setting the bar for quality here. I think that'll go out.
If you edited it all out, it'll be hello, goodbye.
Yeah, if we're just looking for quality, that's it. There's nothing better than that. Hello, goodbye. So another thing I'm looking at as well, I think, so we're looking at electric, okay? And we're talking about clean forms of electric. And at the moment, of course, you've got power stations that generate electric. You've got the clean tech of nickel is also used, by the way, in a single wind turbine generally contains close to 500 kilograms of nickel. So they're again in there. And I guarantee there's copper in there as well somewhere. So we know that. But, okay, cleaning energy aside, because, you know, you can't... storing of electricity is hard work. And so if the wind's blowing and all that stuff and the sun's shining, it's fine. You create this clean energy. But if you don't have that, especially in our country, you know, maybe if the wind's too strong or it's not strong enough, wind turbines are no good. If the sun isn't shining, that's no good. So where does the base load come from, you know? And you've got to think, well, where does that come from? And think, well, nuclear. Yes, we've got a program on nuclear. But again, look at the market. I've been studying the uranium market of late, and there is going to be a deficit at an all-time low. And you think, right, where can I play this? How can I play this? So uranium, and I'm looking at Barclays Energia. You know, look at it. Because good shareholders there. They've got a project. They've got funding to now to go through the first production of uranium. Their share price, what is it at the moment? Their market cap is something like 121 million. And they're going to be sort of pretty much, if the price of uranium goes up and they go through the ceiling, which it can do, they can be producing sort of a profit of that in 1 year. You know, again, it's a buy and hold as we go towards this, you know, clean energy. And I read that India and China alone, I was on the uranium sort of, what was it, World Nuclear Organization website. India and China, over the next 10 years, I think, are going to be building 250 nuclear power stations, which is nuts. And obviously, that's where they need uranium for those power stations, of course. And I think that is nuts. And at the moment, you know, there's no new sort of supply coming on because the uranium price is so low. So you've got a dynamic here of... And it almost feeds into itself, this dynamic. It's the same with copper, you know, where the price was so low, no one was developing new mines. And so what happens is because the supply goes down, and all of a sudden you've got an extra dynamic here of, you know, the EV market really demanding copper at a time when there's no one supplying it. So it's going to go through the roof, you know, and same with uranium and nickel, pretty much the same, I think. So that's a crack. Listen, I think uranium, copper, nickel, three commodities there, you're laughing. Get exposures to. Do any of you hold Berkeley Energia?
I don't know,
because I do.
Do you own that, Steve?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Because you're not quite sure what you hold, are you?
Well, I'm pretty sure I hold that one.
When did you buy them? What price?
I'm up on it, actually. I'm up by 1.57.
All right, here we are. 46p
I paid for them.
Well, then, Steve, that's a buy and hold. That's a buy and hold because you know full well. And the advantage of Berkeley Energia, they're in Europe, you know? And at the moment, there's contracts in America coming off, power stations coming off. There's contracts, and they're renewed every couple of years. And so they'll have to renew the contracts. And at the moment, they could just, like, you know, I'm not going to say dodgy countries, but I will say they get the uranium from dodgy countries. They'd much prefer to get it from Europe, a European country, yeah. Spain, or something like that. I was going to say democratic country, but I don't know if Spain is anymore. Oh, bit of controversy, bit of politics there. And also, another theme. Listen, this is not a punt, guys. This is a company which you should have bought this last week. It hit a low. I had a limit order of 10 pence in. I already owned some. But Harvest Minerals, I think genuinely do research, but buy on weakness. They're a fertilizer company, and this is the macro theme here, right? They're in Brazil. Brazil is one of the biggest importers of fertilizer in the world. They import 90% of their fertilizer needs, a massive agricultural sector they've got there. But this is a dynamic here that's changing. They want to be self-sufficient in fertilizer by 2020. And that means, and Harvest Minerals have an organic, cheaper than, it's locally produced within Brazil, cheaper than imports, and it's now just going through for the certification on it. It works better than imports as well. So you've got a government there, you know, committed to sort of having, you know, being self-sufficient by 2020, and yet they haven't, so that you can imagine, they really want, you know, local producers to come on board and start producing fertilizer. Harvest Minerals is one of those, and so you've got several years there, and they've got a massive resource, massive. They can pretty much supply 450,000 tons of fertilizer a year when they get up and running, and that will, that's a 10 bagger. I mean, the profit they earn off that, I mean, it costs them about $7 to produce this fertilizer. They sell it for $60. So, you know, the profit they earn off that will mean they're a 10 bagger. And so I think, look at Harvest Minerals. Brian McMaster is a chairman there, a decent guy with a good track record. So I think buy on weakness there.
Well done, Brian.
So, yeah, three there. Fertilizer, You know, we got all I can say. Do you know what's annoying me at the moment, though? What? Do you know what's annoying me?
Me?
Apart from that.
No.
So it annoyed you before it annoyed me. I think it annoyed Steve even more. Yeah, and that's EVR Holdings.
God, let's not talk about them.
Because Steve,
unless they've gone down.
Steve bought them for a penny, sold at 1.5p, and now 8p.
Classic.
Well, you've let him forget it, so that's good.
And but what's annoying me is that they came in the podcast a while back, and Anthony, very eloquent, well-spoken guy, knows his stuff, very sharp-minded fella, said the VR market, you know, is growing massively, but we're not going to release the app because people don't know what EVRH is all about. They essentially now hold the rights and they have equipment. They film concerts in VR, virtual reality, and they've signed up with all the big major labels, so they've pretty much got every artist you can name on the books. Any artist that's hot, they've got them on the books or have access to them. So you've got the ginger guy with the guitar. What's his name?
Ed Sheeran.
That's the fella. Yeah.
Mick Hucknall.
Yeah, something like that. All the big Justin Bieber, you know, all the big. Who's the big stars these days, Steve? You're a bit younger than us. So who are the big stars? Who are the hot stars these days?
Craig David.
Craig Davis, yes, he's there. Craig Davis, the Welsh version.
Little Mix.
In fact, you could do that, couldn't you? A Welsh cover of Craig Davis. Craig David, called Craig Davis. All right.
Yeah.
Rewind, like, yes, lovely. Craig Davis all over your. Yeah, rewind.
Boom.
Boom, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, Steve, who are the big artists of today?
Little Mix is the biggest one.
Out Here Brothers.
Well, Little Mix is the biggest in the world.
Yep.
Shut up.
They've overtaken the Spice Girls now as the biggest girl bands.
They're not. Are they international? Are they?
They're international. Yeah, they're the biggest band in the world at the moment.
Well, that's someone texting me about Little Mix there. Oh, yeah, there's someone else. I didn't know that. Really?
Yeah.
They are rubbish. What was that thing that when it first came out, I realised when I heard that, it was Black Magic. Black Magic. And I just listened to it, and I thought, Magic. I thought, that is at the. I was watching a daytime TV show, and they came on and debuted it on that show, and I thought, how rubbish is that?
Oh,
it's a Black Magic lyrics. Let's go through the lyrics. All the girls in the block knocking at my door want to know what is making the boys want more. Is your lover playing on your side? Said he loves you, but he ain't got time. Here's the answer. Come and get it at a knockdown price. Full of honey, just to make him sweet. Crystal balling, just to help him see. What he's been missing, so come and get it while you've got time. Where's the chorus? Take a sip of my secret potion. One taste and you'll be mine. It's a spell that can't be broken. It'll keep you up all night. Boy, you belong to me. I've got the recipe and it's called Black Magic. And it's called Black Magic. I thought, what the hell?
That's brilliant.
There is no basis in reality whatsoever.
Yeah,
what are they talking about?
Well, they're talking about Black Magic. Of course, there's no reality.
What do you mean? But listen, one drop should be enough. Boy, you belong to me. I got the recipe. And it's called. What is the recipe? What are they? I don't understand what they're saying. What are they doing, Steve? They're feeding men some kind of drink, Black Magic, and they're addicted to it. What is that? I don't understand what that is. Is Black Magic a euphemism for something else I'm not realising about?
You could probably look into some of the Beatles lyrics and probably.
Hang on. I know what they're saying Black Magic is. I know what they're saying it is. It's something a bit rude, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I see now.
Is it? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, it is. Someone's clever, look. Yeah, all the girls come in knocking at my door. Want to know. See, what door? Which door they're knocking at?
The
back door.
Back door.
That's it. That's your Black Magic right there. That's why the guys keep coming back for more. Oh, I get it now. I get it. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, okay. All right.
What on earth are we talking about now?
we've got off track from EVRH. I did actually genuinely think, how the heck did we get to that? But anyway, where did we come from?
Just a recap. you were reading out lyrics from Little Mix.
Yeah. So anyway, back to talking about special access. So EVR8 have access to all the biggest stars in the world, right? And Anthony came on the podcast, and they've revealed today now, Wednesday was it, or Thursday, they did a deal with Roc Nation, which is Jay-Z's company there, and so another major signing, really impressive. These guys really have got it, and I think they're in the pocket of or chatting or having had chats with guys on Facebook as well, so they're up there. But they said to me, when is the app launch, when is the VR app launch, you know, because it's hardware, what do you call it, when it's not aligned to any kind of hardware, you can use any kind of hardware on it, agnostic. So this would be good as soon as they launch that. I mean, I can imagine, you know, kids saying, right, you've got a chance of going backstage VR wise with the ginger guy with the guitar, that's the spotty guy, what's his name, Ed. You imagine how many people would love to do that, you know, or Fanatics, who's it, or Justin Bieber, you know, or backstage access VR or VR concert with Justin Bieber. It costs you like $20, that's all it costs you, you know. Now, to me, that would make people go out and buy headsets, because they only cost $20. They don't cost a lot, do they? You can get them for free. Google Cardboard, whatever, it's free, you know? But Anthony said on the podcast, he's waiting for the sales of these headsets to catch up a bit, and then they'll release their app. And I thought, no! I said, you've got to have content will drive the sale of the headsets, not the other way around. So people want to sit the headsets, put them on, and wait for content, are they? The reason why they use them is because there's content to look on them. You can't say, oh, I've got a new arcade, you know, full of empty game shells. We're just waiting for games to start appearing. You've got to have good games. People, do you understand? It just makes sense that you can't sell an Xbox without Xbox games. You know, people buy the Xbox for the games. They don't buy the Xbox
without lemons.
What?
Right.
You know what I'm saying, though? Yeah, wouldn't someone... You have, like, you know, girls are fanatical. That's what they call fans. They're pop stars. So girls and young boys, whatever they are, but they would genuinely buy a little VR headset, or they get their parents to, if they knew Justin Bieber was going to be live, you know, he was in a concert on the other side of the world. They couldn't go visit it, but they could see it in a live concert. They maybe get backstage access as well, and they'd buy it. Right? So I don't understand what's going on. They'd been delaying now. They're coming towards Christmas, and then still not mentioning the app. And I think, come on, guys, get it out there, get the content up there. I don't know if they've. I've seen on their, you know, what's it called, their Twitter, Melody VR. I've seen some of the people they've filmed. It's not, don't seem big stars at the moment, semi-big, but not the big stars. So I'm just wondering if they'd filmed it, it'd probably be quite. But I suppose this would be live stuff. So. Obviously, they'll have on their app, they'll have archive stuff from all different kinds of bands, and they'll probably have live stuff. Then there's an archive, which you're probably going to pay for as well. But I'm just thinking, it is a fabulous. And they can imagine the money they can earn off that. Imagine the adverts they could put on that as well, from people like Nike or all the big companies who want to pay for that, you know? Justin Bieber, Green Room Access before the concert, and all that stuff. You know, I think it's a massive revenue driver, but yet it's been delayed. I don't know how long the app's taken. Anyway, I'm sensing, you can probably sense a bit of frustration here, you know?
Yeah, I mean, not as frustrating for Steve, who sold at 1.5p, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it's not a bad problem.
It's relative, isn't it?
Yeah, so I did buy it for a penny, so I suppose it's not bad that 8p, but...
So we're okay, we're 8 times what you paid.
The thing is, this is one of the stocks I've bagged in stocks before, but I've sold them. I've got rid of them. But I mean, this is one of the stocks that I've bagged, and I will hold, because I still think there's a lot of potential here. I think someone like a Facebook could come along, snap them up, or one of the big boys could snap them up easily, you know? But I just think it's at the time, right now, I think we're 2 years in now for them floating, and the app still isn't available. I think, come on, guys. It's an amazing concept. You are world leaders in this. There's no one as yet, is it, doing VR concerts live out there. And I'm just thinking, you know, that's. That you could be a world leader in this, you know.
But that's if you believe in the story, then it's just a sit and hold, isn't it? And you just got to.
Yeah. Just how long?
You're
the thing
not
is,
good at that, are you?
No, but I am very good at that. What's the longest stock you've held actually of late?
Of late, Lloyds Bank. I don't know.
Oh yeah, you've had that for ages, haven't you?
What?
Yeah, you've had that for ages.
Yes, keep them tucked away. Recently, I don't know. Well, a few years, a couple of years, probably.
Yeah, and
they're all doing very, very well.
I think the longest stock I hold at the moment now is probably Asia Met, I think.
Yeah.
about that couple of years. And BT's being a longer hold than we want, really, isn't it?
Mm. Have you seen Next is doing well? It's holding up above £51.
Is it?
Yeah, anyone?
Steve, what's your thoughts on BT?
What about Next?
Steve!
Yep.
What are you doing? Is there anyone else in this room called Steve you can be confused with?
Well, no, Pete was still talking. I was waiting to finish talking.
That was it.
It's only you. Okay. I've got no thoughts on BT. It's a bit rubbish, really. We've our 10%.
Let me tell you...
In the wrong way.
But I'm used to that, so it's kind of normal for me.
Steve, that's minus 10%. That's not what we're trying to achieve.
Listen, guys, I quite like the hourly chart of BT. And in fact, you know, I said Nicola Duke doesn't buy stocks. She trades now and again.
Yeah.
Bought some BT. She sold it again. And she said, yeah, it's not going anywhere at the moment. And I thought, what? And I sort of bet her. I said, right, this is fundamentals versus technicals, okay? This is going to go somewhere. This is going to, you're going to miss out here. I quite like it. Look, on Friday afternoon, I quite like a double bottom there in the hour chart. Not talking about Nicola Duke's double bottom. The chart there, double bottom. And it's just, you know, sneaking a peek above the 200-day moving average on the hourly chart. I think we may have seen a bottom here. It's dipped below the 280. Sometimes when you get a support level like 280, you know, it's not hard and fast. They can, you know, they can peek down below it, have a look down below, see what's down there. Let's have a look down there. Oh, don't like the look of that. Oh, no. Let's come back up. And then hopefully it'll start going back up. So I'm thinking now, they've got, I think, results out towards November. So I think it's a quarterly update. So hopefully it'll rally towards the news. And then it'll start, because I've seen a lot of analysts say this is, you know, the targets of 350 to 390 on the stock. So,
again,
you know,
patience.
They don't know as much as us about stocks and shares, of course, especially not Steve. No. Steve, you should start writing broker notes. It'd be hilarious.
Steve, what is your target price there for BT?
I know what the price is. I'm just looking at the percentages, to be honest.
Well, next to that, it says the price.
Yeah, well, I've got it in front of me now.
Okay, so it's roughly about 280 or something at the moment. What's your target? What's your target? 240?
Oh, I'd like to go to 300, if I'm honest.
Right. Okay. That's when we bought it, though, wasn't it, Steve? So that's the break-in. So what's our target price?
Target, right. Okay.
I'd like to go to 300, to be honest. Steve, you should write a broker note. That'd be hilarious. Right, I'd like this to go to 300, if I'm honest. In fact, it is 300. A bit more than that. Yeah.
I'm waiting for it. I'd like to see 250, and then I'll sell out. Yeah.
There's no reason why this can't go a bit higher, a little bit higher anyway, so I can break even on it, and then I'm out. Because what I do is I put my money into it, watch it go down, worry a bit, then hopefully it comes back to break even, I sell then, and then it continues to rise, and I think, oh, no.
As long as Harry and Larry get their buy and sell prices, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think there is some mileage in that, Steve. There was a guy who did that for a while. I used to quite like it. He was called the Idiot Trader, and literally he just took completely. You know, he hadn't got a clue what he was doing, and he said, "Right, everyone's selling this. I'm going to buy it." And so he buys stuff, and he's got the wrong way right. I lost a couple of grand on that. Right, it can't go any better than this now. I'm going to get out. And he'd say things like, "Right, I'm getting out now before it goes any lower. You get out, you go back up." Okay, that rose. I sold it in a rose. Okay. I won't make that, you know, mistake next time. And he does. But, Steve, you should be doing that. You're classic. Classic! Have you learned anything at all about, you know, the market since you've been involved in it?
Well, yeah, little snippets.
Well, give me a snippet there.
Well, don't invest into the AIM market unless you're on it all day.
Mm-hmm. I do take responsibility for some of your losses.
So you should, like, T-pop.
Yeah, but yes, yeah. But yeah, listen,
as a few I can mention, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think T-pop it's make or break there. It could go very well, or just collapse. But
the thing is, though, even if they do really well, that'll probably not even get close to our buy-in price anyway. So
yeah, perfect. So essentially, but there are ones like, you know, like you said, you've got three. Pete's doing well on next, but you've got Asia Met there, you've got Horizonte, right, and you've got Barclay and Achea. Three good stocks there should do very well for you.
Mm.
I mean, if you're talking about 10 bag of potential, I would suggest adding Harvest Minerals on dips, if you're going to get some dips there. Do you like dips?
Like hummus and stuff.
Yeah. Don't be homophobic, Pete.
What? Hummus?
Yeah. Who are you calling hummus? All right, I see you. We're all homeowners. We've talked enough now, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm, yeah. Any plans for the weekends?
None for me.
Lovely, brilliant. What a lovely note to end on. Any plans for the weekends? None for me. All right, cheers, lads.
You're going out drinking tonight, aren't you?
What?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, yeah. So I'm just trying to work out where it's actually happening or not.
Who are you going on with, Steve?
Some people from my old work.
From your old work?
Yes.
Who like?
From what?
From down the mine.
No, from my old job.
In the mine.
Why are you going to the radio station? Why are you doing that then? Why?
No reason.
Is it Chris Tarrant?
Yes.
Right. I miss hearing about your dates when you used to go on those dates.
What's happened to that, Steve? Have you given up completely on dates now?
Pretty much.
Have you not had a date for ages?
No, I've just given up. It's easier.
You're going to say something else then, haven't you? You've not tried one date in how long? When's the last date you had?
Well, I don't know. 2 months ago?
What was it? You didn't tell us about that. Who was that?
What's his name? I'm not saying any names. It didn't go well, so, you know.
Come on.
Was that when you mentioned to us, Steve? What happened? Where did you go? Where did you go?
I don't know.
We might be able to help.
I very much doubt it.
No, I doubt it as well, Steve. All we're here for is pull your leg a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Steve, we'll never know. Maybe you'll meet someone tonight and, you know, come home and realise... Pardon?
Hit it off.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't do that, Steve. That would limit the chances of pulling over again if you do that. I can understand it getting a bit frantic, but I wouldn't definitely hit it off.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's phrase, isn't it? Anyway.
Right, Steve, Pete, thanks so much, lads. Have a nice weekend, and I hope you hit it off in sort of speak, Steve. All right?
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.